Good to see all of you this morning. Glad that you're here. We're going to be in the book of Mark once again and looking at chapter 8, the opening scriptures there. Well, during the Christmas break, a lot of kids get time off of school, right? And there was one family in particular during the holiday break. Little Johnny got to spend the weekend with his favorite aunt. And she asked him, well, what do you want to eat when you're at my house? He said, I love pancakes, but my mom only lets me eat 3 pancakes when I'm at my house. But I really like your pancakes. Can I have pancakes? Yeah, you can have pancakes. So they went to her house, and the next morning got up, and Johnny woke up finally and went to the kitchen, and his aunt was in there cooking fresh, hot pancakes. And man, he just started diving into the pancakes. Eight, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And carefully chewed number 10. And got halfway through number 11. And laid his fork down. And his aunt asked, you want some more pancakes? No, I don't want any more pancakes. I don't want the pancakes I've already had. How satisfied are you with life, with your pancakes, with the things that you search for? How many people are really satisfied in life? The evidence suggests that very few people are content. And, for example, I won't ask you to raise your hands if you ever changed your hairstyle or hair color or changed your wardrobe or car or something else. Unfortunately, we see that divorce rates are very high. We see that drug use flourishes in spite of all the laws. Sales ads continually tempt us with newer, bigger, and better. And we're about 2 weeks past Christmas. The Christmas rush. And what happens after the Christmas rush and Christmas Day? It's Christmas returns. And the stores are overwhelmed with all of the returns. Where can true satisfaction be found? What can meet the deepest desires of the human race? Our world continues to offer a merry-go-round of experiences and things and stuff. But this pleasure soon fades. Is there anything or anyone who can give true satisfaction? And the good news of the Bible is yes. Jesus Christ came from heaven. He offers to all who would believe in him the gift of abundant, everlasting life, of blessings eternal. Mark chapter 7 concludes with the testimony of the multitudes about Jesus. He has done all things well. We looked at chapter 7 last week. And I need to just real quickly give a clarification. In the middle of last week in the sermon, I referred to Cornelius the centurion. I stand corrected. Something was wrong when I got home. I was thinking about that. That story is not quite right. In Mark, I referred to the fact that the great faith of Cornelius the centurion. Yes, Cornelius had faith. But in Luke chapter 7 is the story of a centurion, another centurion who had a servant who was ill, and Jesus was going to go to the house. And Jesus, the centurion sent word, no, you don't need to come to my house. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. That is the story I really meant to refer to, the nameless centurion. However, there is also a centurion named Cornelius in the book of Acts who had great faith and was the first Gentile convert along with his family. So I apologize if I confused anybody. Now I've got everybody confused, right? So, anyway, if anybody was holding that against me, I have my conscience clear. You can talk to me later if you still have confusion. Okay. But we see that Jesus, over and over again in his ministry, is working and doing everything. It's amazing, the people, the powers that Jesus has. He has done all things well. What is he doing? Healing, teaching, casting out demons, and so much more. And the word about Jesus is spreading like wildfire. And the crowds could not be avoided everywhere that Jesus went. What happened? The crowd showed up. Hey, Jesus is here. And everybody would drop what they're doing and run to Jesus. The testimonies about God's grace through Jesus couldn't be silenced. Jesus would command them, don't tell the word, don't spread the word. I'm trying to focus on my Father's business, and the word would spread because people were so excited about Jesus and all that he was doing for them. Everyone wanted to be close to Jesus. Let's read our text today. It's out of Mark chapter 8, the first 9 verses. In those days, when there was again a large crowd, and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from a great distance. And his disciples answered him, where will anyone be able to find enough bread for here in this desolate place to satisfy these people? And he was asking them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he directed the people to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks and broke them and started giving them to his disciples to serve to them. And they served them to the people. They also had a few small fish. And after he had blessed them, he ordered these to be served as well. And they ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 7 large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces. About 4,000 were there, and he sent them away. Would you pray with me as we look at this passage? Thank you, Father, for your scriptures of truth. We thank you for your word of life and the hope that comes in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we will all find true satisfaction through Jesus, and that we will adjust our living, our lifestyles, our relationships, everything in regard to living in this world based upon the standards, the guidance that we have in Jesus Christ, and truly find satisfaction to face each and every situation, relationship, and challenge. We thank you for the scriptures. Guide us in your truth, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read through the Bible, we see that Jesus satisfied the needs of the first century. Jesus satisfied the needs of the first century. The words of Jesus were a beacon to the multitudes, to the lost. The message of Jesus was different from anything that the crowds had ever heard. He was untraditional. He was inspiring. He was uplifting. He was encouraging. He was challenging. He was truthful. And the people were just drawn to him like a magnet. His words brought peace to the soul. It began back when he was 12 years old. In the book of Luke, we have recorded that at 12 years old, Jesus went to the temple with his parents, as was the tradition. And where was Jesus? He was amazing the teachers of the temple. They were intrigued as they listened to this young boy talk about the truths of God. It didn't stop at 12. Jesus entered into the ministry full time, and his wisdom as an adult surpassed the elaborate word traps that were conceived by those who were conspiring against him. Scholars who had been educated for years, stumped by a carpenter from a hillbilly city. Scholars that hated him and sought ways to trick him, and yet he never got tricked. Multitudes of people were held spellbound by his wonderful teachings, his stories, his illustrations. In our text, the crowds have been with Jesus for how long? 3 days. For 3 days, they stopped their work. They stopped their responsibilities. They're following Jesus wherever he's going. And they're depriving themselves of not only their work, but what else? Their food. They didn't even prepare, but they didn't care. Why weren't they going out and looking for food? They were famished with spiritual hunger. And Jesus was feeding them spiritual food. And they were taking every bit of it in that they possibly could. Jesus was speaking truth. He was speaking righteousness. Different than anything they'd ever experienced before. So that they became unconcerned about their own physical health. Now Jesus becomes concerned about the physical hunger with the multitude of people listening to him. Without any indicated question or concern about from his disciples. If you remember back to when Jesus fed the 5,000, the disciples raised the question. Jesus, send them away. They're getting hungry. No, you feed them. Do you remember the story? But now here they are 3 days into a preaching session and a revival. And nobody's paying attention to the food issue. And Jesus raises the question. Jesus was concerned for these people, his disciples, his followers. And what does he do? He takes the resources that are available, 7 loaves and a few small fish. And here in Mark's record, it says he fed how many? 4,000. But if you turn over to the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 15, it's just 4,000 men, not counting the women and the children. We're talking about a multitude of people. You know, you can speculate whatever number you want to. You can multiply that out to 12,000, 16,000, whatever it is. But that's immaterial. The point is Jesus met the entire need with leftovers, with extra. All the needs were satisfied. They were getting satisfied in their heart, and now they got a full belly as well. People needed freedom from Satan's power. Jesus had that power. He was casting out demons out of the afflicted, those who were demon-possessed. He was able to raise the dead, raise him back to life. People were in awe of Jesus. His power was the remedy for all the afflicted, for all those who were suffering. Jesus healed every form of disease and sickness. We read in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 30 and 31, these words, "And great multitudes came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, dumb, and many others. And they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them, so that the multitudes marveled as they saw the dumb speaking, the crippled restored, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel." Nothing was too much for Jesus. He met every need, and the people were finding satisfaction. Jesus proves himself to be God in human flesh by his power to control the elements of nature. Do you remember the stories of this is the second case of him providing food for a multitude. Jesus had previously calmed the raging storm with 3 words. What were they? Peace, be still. And the Lord walked on water, even helped Peter to walk on water. Matthew chapter 21, verse 19 records that Jesus caused an unproductive fig tree to die instantly because it did not have any figs on it. even though it had leaves. Jesus had the power. And people were seeing that. The people of the first century found Jesus to be very satisfying in all things. God has always satisfied the needs of his people. As we read throughout the scripture over and over again, we see that God meets the needs of people. The world as it is at the Lord's disposal. All the scripture indicates that everything belongs to God. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it." Well, that includes us. We are dwelling in the world, right? And so we belong to God. Everything belongs to God. Not a thing is exempt. God is the source and the provider of all things, of life itself, from the smallest amoeba or whatever you want to refer to, the cell, to the largest forms. God designed it, God assembled it, and God sustains it all. If God did not keep us alive, if God did not will us to be alive, we would die instantly. I almost want to get off into a creation evidences there, but God created man in his image, giving us the breath of life to dwell in his creation, to manage his creation, his world, and to honor him in this world. Scripture is very clear about that from the very opening chapters. If you think back, in the time of Abraham, God provided a ram for Abraham on Mount Moriah to offer as a sacrifice in replacement for his son, Isaac. God satisfied the needs of Israel for 40 years as they left the slavery in Egypt out into the wilderness. What did God provide for the people? Water, food, manna and quail. Manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna at supper time. Manna alive. Because God sustained them over and over again. He was constantly protecting them. He protected them even to their clothing and the shoes on their feet. The scripture says that their clothes did not wear out. How many of you would like the same wardrobe for 40 years? But God was taking care of them through the whole process if they would just walk in faith with him. God sustains the priests of Israel with the tithes and the offerings. The entire tribe of Levi was taken care of by the rest of the tribes giving their tithes and offerings to the work of God. There was a surplus when the people did what they were supposed to do. As they were building the tabernacle, Moses called for offerings. And what happened? They were giving so much, Moses had to stop them, had to restrain them, because God had provided for them and they were giving gladly and they had an abundance to make the tabernacle. God abundantly supplied for Israel when they walked with him in obedience. Israel was protected from death as they fought the battles commissioned by God. They never lost a single soldier in battle unless they disobeyed God. Can you imagine going to war and not having a single casualty? That was the story of Scripture when God was with Israel. They never lost a man because God protected them. If they walked away from God, boy, look out. Casualties galore. Israel moved into Canaan into established cities, homes, with farms and wealth waiting for them. God blessed them. God blessed their productive crops to have enough in the sixth year so that they wouldn't have to go out and plant on the seventh year. They were to give the land a rest on the seventh year. in the Mosaic Law, and God provided for them as long as they obeyed him. Unfortunately, they didn't always obey him. And so God did allow famines to come into the land to remind them. God blesses the church. We read in the scripture, when the scripture walks with Jesus, God makes sure that the church has full satisfaction. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and following records that the first congregation gave of their dollars, of their resources, with love in their hearts as their guide, and they had an abundance to provide for all those who were in need. They shared and they sacrificed so that no one had any needs. Everybody was taken care of. And that love attracted others to Jesus Christ. They saw the love interacting between the Christians of the first century, and other people said, man, I'd like to have some of that love. I'd sure like to be loved. Don't you like to be loved by others? And the world is looking for somebody. Do you really love me? The first century church learned to love as Jesus loved. Scripture is full of the stories of God satisfying every need. Today, satisfaction can be found in Christ Jesus today. We can still find satisfaction when we walk with Jesus. By his design, Jesus established the church in the first century. With the passing of time, people have corrupted the teachings of Jesus. They have established different churches, claiming to be following Christ and yet ignoring his word. Are we that kind of a people? We better not be. If we walk in his truth, he promises to meet our needs. The church that obeys Jesus is his body. That's the promise of Ephesians 5, verse 23 and following. He pours out his eternal blessings on those who obey him. He always has in the past, and he will continue to do that if we are faithful to him, being faithful as his body, living for Jesus, with him being the head, us being the hands and the feet, the mouthpieces, the actions, spreading the good news of life in Jesus. Jesus commands us to not be worried about our food, about our clothing, about other things of this world, but to do what? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Do you remember that little chorus we sang a little bit? Yeah. Where'd that come from? From Jesus. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then everything else will be taken care of if we walk with Jesus. Then he will provide for the rest of our needs. Not our wants. You're not going to get your Lamborghini or your Humvee or whatever else you were dreaming about. But he will provide what you need to serve him. Some people are provided more than others. We should guard against jealousy, coveting, and other forms of sin. But praise God in all of his provision. Jesus promised that all who ask, seek, and knock will receive, find, and enter into God's blessings. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 38 assures us that everyone who lovingly and gladly give to God will be blessed by him with an abundance. Remember, what belongs to God? Everything. We are just temporary caretakers. We are managers of what belongs to God. He asks us, he encourages us, he motivates us to return back to him a portion. As he blesses us, we should give back to him because he satisfies all of our needs. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 10 through 19 instructs us to learn to be content. To learn to be content. Contentment doesn't come naturally to us. It starts when we're little. I want, I want, I want. None of you had that trouble, right? None of your kids had that trouble? Well, unfortunately, it's affected all of us at some point, and we have to learn how to become content. We have no need to be anxious, don't need to be irritable. We need to trust in God. Paul states, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." That's a promise of Scripture. God will meet all your needs. Has he met your needs? Are you trusting him? I think if we're honest, he has blessed us more than we deserve. True satisfaction only comes through faith and obedience in Jesus Christ. He paid for all of our sin with his death at Calvary. He has conquered the threat of death with his resurrection, so we have no need to fear death anymore. The Lord of promises to meet all of our needs, our daily needs. Plus, he gives us extra to glorify him, to honor him. And he's promised us more than what this world can offer. Something out of this world, eternal life with him. We have reason to praise him, don't we? He satisfies our needs. Only Jesus, as your master, will you find satisfaction. Applying his scripture to your daily living and enjoy his full satisfaction as you trust in him, as you walk with him. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for help, for strength, for your meeting every need according to your riches and glory. Father, let us trust in you more and more. Let us honor you with that which you've given to us, trusting you and praising you and serving you. Let our love grow. You give to everybody in this world, even those who hate you. And you've just asked us to express our appreciation with just a small portion. Father, I pray that we will do so gladly, joyfully, praising you, honoring you, and reflecting your love, meeting needs of those within the church family as well as those outside. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the time together. Let us be an encouragement to each other as we walk with Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.